Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Reliability Gang podcast. Happy New Year, everyone. Hope everyone's had a great Christmas. This is the first podcast of 2023, and I'm here with my right-hand man, Will. How you keeping, buddy?
I'm very well, thank you very much, as you can probably all hear.
Poor Will, he's ill. Mate, January has
been... First week of January, and it's just...
Everyone has been so ill, haven't they?
I know. And it's not COVID or anything like that. I've had that before already.
But to be honest, I think this flu's worse.
I know. I think it's the whole outcome of we've all been inside for so long. So it just seems to be going through us all. Niall had it the other day. Now I've got it. And so
I know. We're all trying to keep healthy, of course. And again, this is why it's really important to have them health goals for 2023. Definitely. And try to be as healthy as possible. Because, you know, through these winter months, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff around. So guys, make sure that we're... You're keeping healthy, but I just want to say Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you all for the support last year. It's been, again, another
incredible
roller coaster year, I think. I try to take stock, actually, of each year. Every single year that goes by, I try to take stock of, like, where do we start and where do we end in terms of the year? And the start of the year, we were literally getting Jamie on in the north, right? And it was literally going from 3 to 4. So by the end of the year, we actually ended up with 8.
I know, it's crazy.
So the growth really almost doubled in terms of a company size,
yep,
and turnover as well. So we would like, again, I'm a very grateful person, and we couldn't have done any of this without the Reliability Gang and our customers. So first and foremost, I want to say a big thank you for everyone, do you know what I mean, that supported us on this journey in 2022, and all our customers and all of our suppliers and all the people that have helped us out as well. Yeah. So thank you guys for that. And now we've got a few updates as well for this year, because, again, I think it's really important for continuous improvement. And implants, we know everyone is looking for that. How do we get better from yesterday, and how do we improve in terms of moving into the future? And how do we implement these new things that we want and goals into the present moment as well?
Definitely.
So we've been really thinking about how we can improve on that sense. And we've actually really kind of put some new ideas for this year, and one of them being the new report format as well, in terms of what we did. We really thought about it, didn't we? What?
Yeah, and we look to update the report format every year. So every year we try and look at it and see how we can improve it and make it better on the last. But I think this year we utilize SharePoint quite heavily, and I think this year is going to see the biggest change in the way we report to try and support the customers and deliver what they want out of a report. And that's kind of what this podcast is also going to be about, is looking at what we're doing, what new things are coming for this year, but also for anyone new listening to understand kind of why we are doing this. And I said to Will before we started, I wanted to talk about at some point on the podcast, you know, how he started the business, why he started the business, and what the ultimate goal is, so people understand. Because I think for a lot of people, they see all these things that we're doing and just see it as a business that we're just doing. But there's a big picture behind it as to why we're doing what we're doing. But I don't want to get too sidetracked. I should get back to the point, which is the things that we're new for this year, which is obviously the SharePoint. So we utilize SharePoint at the minute to hold all of our reports, so customers can access previous reports at any point in time. And what we're looking to do for this year, we're starting to trial where it's almost, we call it a live report, but what it is at any time the customer can go in the SharePoint and they can see the current health status of their asset.
And that's a live thing as well.
They'll go in there, it'll tell them that it's healthy or it's critical or it's warning. It'll tell them the last time that asset was updated, i.e. the last time we reviewed it. But what it allows us to do, and the biggest part, is it allows us to have a much better feedback and communication loop with all the customers, because on each of these assets, they have their own comments and we can write in them. And I'm sure what we'll probably do is put some snippets in the video at some point.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be really good, because, I mean, what Will created here, essentially, again, Will is our IT guy, and he's always looking... And I'm always trying to test Will's brain, because I know how I know how capable it is. Because sometimes the thing is, I'm the idea, so I'm always trying to put ideas. Well, how can we do it like this and that? And Will's usually the one who says, "Well, this is how we can do that." If that makes sense, especially when it comes to IT. And I think one of the questions that we was talking about last year is how do we get the feedback loop better?
Yeah.
because feedback is so important. And again, I've been in this game for a very long time doing condition monitoring, and I know for a fact that if the feedback is not sufficient, then the service just cannot
be improved. Always been the one that I feel that we've always struggled with, because you can put as many recommendations in as possible that you feel the site needs to do. And I think this is one of the real standouts that we try and do, is that we aren't just that a condition monitoring company that comes to site, collects the data, submits some recommendations to make sure your assets aren't going to fail, and then come back next month. We're at site pushing you forward.
We want to improve it.
It's like, guys, have you done anything with the fan bearing yet? It's got worse.
Because the thing is, I think what we know is our fulfillment comes out. And again, I had some questions on another podcast recently, and I kind of put a post out there as well about kind of fulfillment and why that's so important as an engineer. Because until we can get that feedback, we can't get fulfillment. Fulfillment comes in the sense of us making something better. And if we don't get the feedback that nothing has been done, then we are going to continuously strive to be able to get that feedback. Has something improved here, or where do we go next from that point? Because until we know that,
exactly,
we don't know where to go.
No, and I think that's where this new, we've kind of dubbed it SharePoint 2.0, but I think that's where this really comes into its own, because the customers and the engineers are going to be able to have access to this. They're going to be able to go in, see which assets are currently in critical or warning, and have some action next to them. It's going to tell them what action needs to happen. And what we're going to be able to do is almost have a running communication dialogue with them. So I can, Bob the engineer, we found that fan one belts are a bit slack and we need them tensioned. So we update in the SharePoint that the fan's now gone into warning, there's an action, the fan needs to be tensioned. And what we're able to do then is we're able to, SharePoint or Microsoft SharePoint has this feature called atting, very similar to like when you at someone on Instagram. We can use the at symbol to at Bob the engineer, and I can say to him, hi Bob the engineer, do you know if this has been retensioned yet? And I can submit that. That will add that record to that asset. That will notify Bob that I've mentioned him and that there's something for him to look at. He'll see that in his email. He can go in there and then he can respond to it.
Yeah.
And so we, and what's nice as well is we can, that is timestamped, it's dated, and that will last for the history of the asset as well.
It's timestamped. And this is where it's important as well, because again, we have CMMS systems as well involved in maintenance. And I'd say 90% of the time, a lot of the things that need to be logged down do not get logged.
Yeah.
Right. And it can even be as simple as anti vibes are looking loose or bad.
We're the worst enemy of it, because we go around these sites and we observe so many different things.
But where's it logged?
And Rob the other day, anti vibes, they don't look very good. We really want to like think about doing it. It's not at a point where maybe the vibration analysis is at a point that I need to do a report and put it in there. And sometimes when
but that's the problem as well. What we got to do is stop being so laser focused in terms of vibration report.
Exactly.
Right? We should really be approaching this as like an observation report, because the fact is, a lot of the time people will only put in a recommendation or an alert based upon vibration data and information. Yep. The fact is, there could be a severe problem that is not even picking up on the VA. Well, where is it logged?
Yeah. And I think the tricky part of it is a traditional vibration reports from everyone really in the industry that I've seen anyway, has this very similar approach of we're going to have a severity scale, and every month we're going to log what the severity is and if there's a problem. Now, if you've got a fan that is showing no signs of poor vibration, but there's a bolt loose 1 month.
Yeah.
Or there's an anti-vibration.
Visually, you can see movement.
I think it becomes too much of a crossover, because what you end up happening is these small issues that are important issues clog up the reflective data in the vibration report, because then you're like, warning, bolts loose, warning, anti-vibration, bolts loose.
Yeah, and I know what you mean. And what we don't want to do is end up becoming, I don't know, one of them companies that's like, oh, you got a problem there, got a problem here, and the reality is, time is of the essence of these people anyway. So again, there has to be balance as well. Well, I totally understand. I totally agree with that as well.
I feel like that's where the our idea of the engineering log comes in. Yeah. So I'll let you talk about this.
Yeah, and again, it's not about kind of saying, oh, there's a big issue. It's more about just logging that information.
We've noticed this. This is something that you guys need to look into.
As a timestamp. So within that log, it's a bit like a captain's log as well, in terms of, this is almost like a diary of what we've seen and what we've done. And the idea is, because of that, what we can do is start to put this information in. Because when there is a failure, we can start to look back at that log and see, what was the first telltale signs that this was going to happen? Because a lot of the time, a lot of these failures can happen unexpectedly. And VA might not be an early indicator for these issues and problems. And it might just be, bam, from 1 minute, you've got a low vibration. Next minute, you're at 70 millimeters per second because anti-vibes failed. And we've been in that exact situation recently. And the fact is, with something like that as well, you know, anti-vibes are not really necessarily something that you'd carry on the shelf, you know, if that makes sense. Probably a good idea too, to have a few, if I'm honest, but the reality is, in most plants, that is not the case. And when something like that does fail, these big anti-vibes are not just available for a next day delivery. I mean, these need to be manufactured. So the fact is, there's a massive risk there that this asset is unable to run for a long period of time until these, you know, things get manufactured. And again, it's one of them risk things that, again, it's not common, but it's still a risk and it still happens. And the fact is, there's no room in this game for anything like that to actually happen. We have to be so on the ball, because the fact is, we know what the cost of the downtime is, and it can be so detrimental to the customer.
It just allows us to separate out what is a vibration issue that is going to potentially cost you a failure, and what is an issue that you need to be aware of for the future.
Yeah, exactly. It's still separate, but it's still logged. So I think
it's important, because you may have a fan such as the one that we were talking about now that raised this issue, that last month the velocity or the movement on the fan was low. There was no concern for it. The bearings were fine. Your VA report is detailing that it's a 2. Observation-wise, we've noticed the anti-vibration mounts are riding way too low for their optimum level.
Exactly, yeah.
But the vibration, there isn't an issue there.
There's no issue with the vibration. And again, this is the thing why observations are important. But it's very difficult as well, because sometimes when there's no metric to put behind what you're kind of suggesting, it can be very subjective. It can be very opinion based in terms of, is that okay or not? Do you know what I mean? Because again, we need some sort of measurement to say, well, is it okay? Is it within a parameter or is it not? So I think, you know, guys, if you're interested in this kind of new way of reporting, again, what we try to do is keep things as very simple as possible, and we're using platforms that everyone has access to. But from that, we're using our innovative ideas to be able to create something that is not already there, if that makes sense. And that's always what we're doing to maintain. We have this, you know, Will told me, you know, Will's a massive Disney fan, right? Huge Disney, absolutely. And I love Disney, but since I've met Will, I've become more of a Disney fan because his passion and love for it. But he told me to read Bob Iger's book. What was it called?
Ride of a Lifetime.
Ride of a Lifetime, yeah. And one of the statements within that book was innovate or die. And that really has stuck with me with moving with this business, especially when we're in such a technology era, and especially when we're using so much tech as well. Do you know what I mean? We're using so much tech in what we're doing.
And when you look at reports for vibration analysis, the last 5 years, have they really changed?
No, they haven't. They've stayed where they are. And as well, we've got cloud-based systems now. We've got, you know, we've got SharePoints. We've got the ability to be able to have something that is live and running all the time. And this is really going to be able to, you know, remedy the feedback problem that we've had so many years. Because for example, we do an Excel report. We send that report. The report gets sent. It gets opened. It gets read. But where's the next stage? Where's the feedback? Because then the feedback is reliant on either talking or email or whatever. But then even that email goes back to another place, which is in your inbox. How many emails do you get a day?
That's it.
Do you know what I mean? But where is the place that we can use? And this is the perfect place, because it's a portal, basically, isn't it? Yeah. A web browser, basically, that you can favorite in your web browser. And that is the place where we can really utilize the information, and it's live. So every single time we change that, it changes. Every time he updates it, it changes. So everyone's looking at the same place, but it's live, it's constant, rather than having
another report
that you have to archive and put away. And then if you need to compare data from one time to another, okay, we've got a trend, but if you want to have a look at kind of like the real data, you have to open 2 or 3 reports. Yeah. So the idea is with this, it's just such a innovative way to be able to present information, and we're ready for that change, because the fact is, I think a lot of people are scared to change the norm.
I feel like what this, the SharePoint does, the way I've kind of thought about it, is it's basically, it's very similar to how cloud-based systems report their information, but this is a way of doing it for handheld root-based.
Yeah.
So if that makes sense. Like yeah. When you've got, I don't know, an Airbus system or a WeCare system, you go on, you see all your assets live. They tell you what health status they are if the alarms have been set up. This is the same as that, but
for handheld data vibration. Connection. And it allows us as well to be able to be, you know, taking extremely good data and a lot of data, high resolution information, but we're converting that in a way that's live, if that makes sense, rather than snapshots that kind of put in place and then forgotten about and archived and put away, if that makes sense.
We can just capture a lot more information behind the asset. So assets that we can't access, why can't we asset? Well, we can open the asset up. What are the comments? Ross Brown's put that we can't access the asset because the guarding's in the way. And then what we can do is those particular things, we can do quarterly reviews with the customer, say, look, these are the assets we can't access. You know, what's the criticality? What's the business risk? Do we need to put things in place to be able to access
it? Exactly. And that's so vital. And again, guys, this doesn't have to just be used for vibration analysis.
No,
this can be used for visual elements, lubricate, all sorts of different things. And do you know what? I'm starting to see that the simplicity of this is going to start to potentially start to compete with the CMMS systems that we have at the minute. Because I think one of the issues that we have right now currently is how difficult a CMMS is to be able to navigate for the standard person who doesn't understand that system. So a lot of engineers that are put on these systems, I think they're reluctant. And I don't think they're reluctant because they don't want to do it. I think they're reluctant because A, they probably haven't had the training. B, they haven't had the time to really understand these systems. And, you know, the thing is, if you don't have the confidence in doing something, are you really going to want to do it? You're probably not. So I think, you know, like these systems, the better they get and the easier they are to navigate, and it's so easy, like anyone can get this, they're probably going to start to supersede the big nice CMMS thing, systems that are currently available, because they essentially do very similar things in terms of a log or record. I'm not saying they can completely replace it. Potentially some companies probably would use a SharePoint for this type of thing. But the reality is, when it comes down to logging simple maintenance things and tasks, it's beautiful. And Will is incredible at setting something like this up. So if you're interested in something like this, right, it doesn't have to be purely VA based, give us a shout, because we'll be able to help you set something up. Of course, we're going to charge for it. Of course we are. But it's something that is innovative that can give your company so much value because of that feedback loop and the element of actually logging things down. Because so many companies are guilty of having these big CMMS systems, but no data inside of them. What is the point?
Yeah.
What is the point? If you can't have that data to back up from what the CMMS system's actually supposed to do, then where's the value in that?
And SharePoint is very handy for these sort of tasks where often we don't, like, we would love to be able to have a running communication dialogue on an asset within a customer CMMS system. But a lot of CMMS systems don't allow for that functionality
access
very
well
easily.
We rarely
get access because a lot of customers don't want access. And
it costs money as well, doesn't
it? There's cost involved. As well. But SharePoint is very handy for us to have an overview on the assets we look at on a daily basis. But there is other, it's got functionality to be used for that, like that. But as Will said, you know, CMS systems, like Microsoft does its own CMS system that not a lot of people know about.
Yeah, no, you were talking to me about this as well, which is different from the SharePoint.
It's different
from
the SharePoint. Is like the way the SharePoint is a website that allows a group of people and organizations to access the same files.
Yeah.
We're making use of a function within SharePoint that anyone can go and do called Microsoft Lists. And then from Microsoft Lists, we're putting some JavaScript and some bits in there and some photo elements just to make the viewing elements of that as simple as possible. So I can go on my phone, I can access my asset list if I was an engineering manager, or I could go on my computer and I can say, show me all my assets grouped by status.
So you can see all your criticals,
it'll say, this is everything critical. And then I can click on there. I can see what the latest action was. I can see when it was last updated, and I can see the history of comments on the asset since it's been monitored. And what that all, that history element is very handy for us, and we're looking to see how that plays out over the next year. Because if we see that, because we're then, the one thing with the current report is we'll say to them, you need to change the belts. Then 3-4 months later, you need to change the belts. 3-4 months later, you need to change the belts. Now, when we're producing a report every month, it's very easy for that pattern to get lost.
Yeah, and not even that. He kind of almost, because they've seen it so many times and nothing changes with it, even though it is, I don't know, something that needs to be done, it's subconsciously something that they're ignoring, which is more likely to be ignored moving forward
more
as well.
More on the basis that if they are actioning it, but because we're doing a report every month, we're losing the fact that they're changing the belts every 4 months. That makes us think, is there something else that's a problem here?
That's the problem as well. Because again, when we do the reports, of course, we could put a comment or a log, belts were changed. But if that's the archive report, it just sits in the report.
Just disappears, doesn't it?
Just disappears. So that log has been made, but in an archive report where we can't access it. Yeah. Whereas with the SharePoint, it's a comment that's been put in there and it's live. We can see that information on that asset. If we click on that asset, we can see, you know, in the comment section that the belts were replaced 4 months ago. So just it allows us to be able to track things so much better. And I think this is very innovative. I'm loving this. I'm loving this whole element of that. And I think Will's definitely succeeded in his challenge of making the report more innovative. So again, innovate or die. Bob Iger says it. And this is kind of like what we live by at Maintain. And we're always looking at every single sector,
how do we
not
make
just
it better?
The reports. How do we make it better? How do we, and again, this kind of just goes into the point of what Maintain is, you know. I think, you know, and I don't like to point at any people, any companies, but, you know, even when I used to work at my previous company, I did kind of feel like at times it was very frustrating because a lot of the things that we wanted to implement or improve on weren't cost effective. And unfortunately, cost and money is involved with every single organization about why do we want to be able to make this better? What is the cost of doing it? And what's the value in terms of doing it? And a lot of the time, the cost up front, people kind of frown upon because there's a cost. Everything costs money. But the reality is they're not willing to put that cost down for the benefits in the long run. Okay. This saying that sticks with me all the time. And again, it's more of a kind of personal development saying. But the thing is if you don't pay the cost now, you'll pay double later. It's such a true saying. And it's the same with anything, isn't it? If you don't wake up early, right, and you wake up late, you're behind a day. All your tasks in that day are completely delayed, right? The cost of not waking up that hour earlier is going to cost you double. Do you know what I mean? So you might say, for example, you wake up at 5, okay? And you don't wake up at 5, you wake up at 6 one day, okay? That 1 hour that you've wasted turns into 4. Do you know what I mean? From the delay in what you're doing. So the same thing goes for anything with, you know, these type of things where you know you need to pay the price up front to be able to innovate something or make something better and improve it. But the reality is you're not going to get the output yet. But when you do get the output and the value back from it, it might be 3-4 months down the line. But how much time it saves and how much you can help another customer is massive. And Maintain's always been built upon that concept. You know, we've always invested in things way before than we should have done because we knew what the end goal was. So I think genuinely, even when me and Will started, you know, when Will come on to this, there were so many changes that we did and there's so much investments put back in, even though we didn't have the capital and money, we really worked on trying to make it better. And I think now we're starting to see the benefits of that hard work. And that saying is now starting to become true in the sense that, you know, what we did do is now starting to work in our favor opposed to the other way around. Yeah.
And I think it stems from the a deep, it's very deep rooted. And I don't want it to be cliche or anything like that. But I noticed it when I started and I've continued to push the same vision, which is that there's a core reason we do what we do and you started Maintain and we continue to do what we do. And it's not about necessarily building a business, about making money. It's about doing what we do every day in an industry that we thoroughly enjoy, just trying to make someone else's life or a customer that little bit more reliable, or moving them that little bit further forward. How, like every day, Yeah. Going to site, it's about how do we help these out a little bit further?
Man, it's so fun as well.
How do we add more value to the customer? And that's where all of these innovations have always come from, because it's always been, how do we add more? The first question is always, how do we add more value? Not, well, what's the cost?
Yeah, and always.
There's never, what's the cost never comes up. It's, how do we add more value? How can we add more value with what we're already doing? That, you know, there is the cost element involved, that it's important to understand what that cost is. But if we can continue to add value that doesn't cost the customer anything and doesn't cost us anything, like the SharePoint, what have I done? Probably invested a couple of days. What's the cost of that? Nothing. But the additional value that they get from it is huge.
It is, yeah.
And I think that's where we've really succeeded in it, is identifying areas where we can improve value at very little cost.
Yeah, 100%. And I think even the thing is as well with what we have done as well, and I'm very ambitious, always have been. I don't think Maintain would be where we are if I didn't have them dreams initially to really push the business. You know what I mean? I've always been an ambitious person. I've always tried to do more than what, do you know what I mean, is the norm. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, and that can be detrimental as well. That can be. I mean, I'm not saying that it's always good to be that way, because sometimes you can, you know, almost sometimes dream too big, and you can, you know, sometimes not promise, but say, look, we can do that. We can do these things. We can push the boundaries. And because I'm so wired in that way, there has been times where we probably have, you know, said, right, we can do that. And we've probably not quite delivered because, you know, it was too ambitious. It's not the sense that we're not capable, but sometimes, you know, for me, and I think this is where I have the grounding with Will sometimes, because I'm a big dreamer, and so is Will to a degree, but he's probably more of a realist, if that makes sense as well. You need a balance of that as well sometimes, because it's a bit like, well, I want to do this. What about this? What about that? And it's great to have the ideas, but as well, you need to have that anchor behind them a little bit as well, because the problem is them ideas, it's like a kite, right? It's a great idea, but if you don't anchor the kite, it just flies away. So as much as high as you want to get with it, until you're holding that kite, you're not going to get the value out of what's going on. So that anchor sometimes needs to be, there needs to be a balance between both dream big and anchor. Because I think if you don't dream big enough, you never have the idea to implement. But if you don't put the anchor in, you can get too carried away. And if you overpromise and underdeliver, it's always going to be a problem. Do you know what I mean? Especially in what we're doing. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's something we've really learned this year, is that both of us, I'll ultimately come to work every day just to try and help our customers move forward. How do we help this customer today? How do we, it's always out of the goodness of how do we help them? How do we help this? And as Will said, you know, our ambition at times, and it's a big reflection we've had on this year, is, and it hasn't happened often, but there's been one or two occasions where we've been like, nope, we can help you do that. That's absolutely fine. You know, it is ambitious, but we want to be able to help you. And in certain circumstances that has been, you know, we've tried our absolute best, but everything's been stacked against us, and we've attempted to do what we promised. Yeah, it still hasn't made.
And through. Sometimes that is reality. That's life sometimes, you know, and I think the fact is we learn from the situations we have. I think we're very good at learning from our mistakes. We've made plenty along the way. We wouldn't be where we are if we didn't make them. But everything we do is really from the bottom of our hearts of trying to help. And I think we just want to make sure that everyone realizes that sometimes, because, you know, we're not always going to get it right. You know what I mean? And I think the problem is as well, a lot of companies out there, they want to hide what they've done wrong. Do you know what I mean? They want to make out as if they're flawless, and that's not life. That's not reality. And no one's perfect, man. And how do we get better? We have to start normalizing a little bit of that mistakes are okay, because we still have this stigma in this industry that it's not. I mean, look on LinkedIn. How many times have you seen something that is okay, probably not right, but how many people attack it? Do you know what I mean?
It's in a malicious way. It's okay to like raise awareness to a potential.
There's a way of doing it though, Will. There's a way of doing it. So, you know, in terms of saying, look, you know, this is why it's wrong and this is where it needs to be better. But there's some people almost laughing at it, you know, laughing emojis, and that is not the way that we progress in this industry. It's not. We need to be able to inspire people to be able to be confident enough to even post in the first place. I mean, it's demoralizing. Even to post and put your ideas and thoughts out on a social media platform, it takes a lot of courage. So the last thing that we want is just people completely shooting it down before they've even the chance to build themselves up.
I think as well, like another point that, you know, obviously we're talking about the business and why we do what we do, and the learning points that we've had. And I think the last year and this year as well that we're now going into, I think it's more important than ever that it's a very old, I think, mentality of competition and that type of thing. And we've talked about the competitive mindset and how it can actually make things worse. But I think it's important going through this year in the where we are at with the economy. I won't go much further, but, you know, there's a lot of people that are struggling at the moment. I think it's more important than ever that everyone comes together, delivers their service as best as they can, and we support as many people as we can. And I think the last year, it was one of the best years we've had in making connections within the industry with other people that do what we do.
100%. And as well, you know, we are talking to, you know, I even talk to some of our competitors on a friendly level. And I was thinking about it the other day, you know.
I don't like viewing them as competitors, though.
No, but no, yeah, you're right. And I think that word, is again, it's used every day. It is. But there's stuff you can learn from them. So again, there's something called competitive analysis again. It's using the word. But what it does, it just highlights what your peers are doing and what you're not. And it's purely improvement exercise, because all you're doing is just seeing where the gaps in what you're doing. And that is a positive outcome. Of course it is, because what you're doing is looking at where are you not competing in that area. Yeah. And then you're putting actions in place to make your company better, which in turn provides more value for who? Everyone.
Yeah.
Because the more value you can bring, the more valuable we are to the world. Simple as that. So we can use it to our advantage. But again, I think the idea is not to look at it in a negative way and a scarcity way of saying there's not enough, I need to fight you over this one customer, yeah, when there's 20 waiting, like, you know what I mean, like,
yeah, yeah,
just around the corner, you know, that type of mentality, you know, it's got to change. Because again, when it comes down to what we're doing, you know, I've heard it through the grapevine as well, you know, about certain people or certain other companies, oh, they didn't do this right, they, you know, like blatant opportunities where people are trying to expose other companies for what they're not doing. And that's not a way to sell. You know, saying, oh, you know, they do this bad, so you should buy from us. That is not the way to sell. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Trying to make someone else look bad to try to give you contrast that you look better is not a way to sell. We shouldn't be able to. That is a complete no-no, in my opinion. Well, if you get anyone trying to sell to you on the basis of someone else's problems to make them look good, I can guarantee, right, there's flaws or problems with that company that are trying to do that with you. In terms of a real progressive company, you should be able to say, what do you do well? And what is your unique point, right? And stop trying to put shade or contrast on a company or competitor that's, you know, doing essentially the same things, right, to make them look bad, to make you look better. Yeah. That for me is
and I think, like, we haven't really experienced that massively. We've had it once or twice, but it's just more of a topic point that we wanted to talk about.
Definitely.
100%. But I think that there's... I think that this year there's a lot of it's very exciting to, as especially you've got a new role.
I have, yeah. I'm actually, you know, I've called myself director for a long time. To be honest, I've only been doing it for a week properly. Obviously, I've been doing it as a side hustle type thing because I've been involved with the work. And you know what? This week has been, the last
couple of weeks. I feel like we've made such a lot of progress in that.
Yeah, I've got a new lease of life again. Because again, obviously, when you've done this for so long, you know, I've had this, you know, been running Maintain nearly 6 years now, coming up to the seventh year after this year. When you're doing the VA stuff every single day, day in, of course, I love it. And that's where I learn. And my passion is so, so big for it. But it gets to a point where it's a bit like, right, okay, it's feeling a bit the samey now. Do you know what I mean? And the same can happen with anyone in anything, in any sector. You know, I'll always have love for it. But the idea now is, in terms of where I am with the managing director path, is seeing every single element and area that can be improved. And there's so many gaps. We've grown so fast over a very short period of time. There's going to be gaps. Of course there is. It's inevitable. And you know, the fun part of this whole journey is filling them in and making sure that we're ready for them areas, yeah, to get better and improve. And it all come back down to what improvement, which then comes to fulfillment. We've got to have something that we're making better within our organization. And the thing is, if you feel that you're a little bit frustrated within whatever organization you're in, you might be a business owner, you might be working for a company, that frustration is coming in the sense that there's nothing to improve on. I guarantee it. Because it's in every human being that we have to be able to give
something to work towards.
It's one of Maslow's direct needs. It is something to work towards or mastery. We require that. I mean, human beings need essentially three things, and I read this and it really like, wow, whacks me right in the face in terms of it. Like, number one is to feel safe. To feel safe. Like, we all need to feel safe and secure somewhere. That's number one, right? Number two is money. It is. We need to live. And that comes down to being safe again. If you've got enough money, you feel secure and safe. And number three is the ability to be able to master something and get better at something. And the fact is, even if you've got one and two, until you get number three, you won't feel fulfilled. Because how many people are in a job where one and two are kind of acquired, but number three is not, and they're not happy in their current life because they don't feel like they're adding value to anything. You've got to be able to add value somewhere.
We talked about it on the way in. It's this concept that I always used to think of, which was you are working to live in that state.
Yeah, you are. Right?
You are working to live. You think that going to work every day, you don't really enjoy it. You're not getting fulfillment, but you're getting your money in and you're safe and you're living your life and whatnot. And for a long time, I was in that category. I was just working to live.
It's such a paradox.
But when you realize that your percentage of your life of working is probably like 80% and living is 20%, surely we should be focusing on making sure your work side is also fulfilled and
but
happy.
As well, though, Will, I guarantee, and this is the paradoxical element around this kind of concept, that if you focus on number three, being fulfilled, even if you're getting paid less in the first place, if you feel and you love your job, right, I guarantee you'll end up getting paid more than the other jobs eventually. It might take a while. It might take 2 or 3 years. But at some point, you have to take the sacrifice initially, a bit like you did with Maintain. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You know, you focus on the number three. I mean, again, you've worked at engineering firms that were paid good money, you know, but the reality is you was borderline depressed in these places. You know what I mean? And some of the stories that I heard, and that's a very difficult place to be in as well. Cause sometimes I kind of almost feel when you're getting paid a lot of money and the money is the kind of prime factor here, the idea of leaving that, if that makes sense, is crippling. Because when you base that need over everything else, you can't leave. You're trapped because you're not willing to sacrifice a pay cut to make that other thing, that work fulfillment thing, happy, right? But I guarantee if you are fulfilled, you will perform to the place where you can get to that money eventually anyway. And some organizations may not allow it, but at least then you have the opportunity to be able to get better and improve towards something. And if that company, again, is not giving you the ability to move anywhere, there's plenty that are. There's so many that are. There's so many that are not. And again, I suppose it all depends on kind of where you're at in life and where you're going. So, you know, I think one of the aims for me now as well is to make sure that I maintain whoever comes on, there's a plan, there's a training plan, there's a mastery plan. There's somewhere where we can go. There's a next level we can strive towards. There's always a training thing that is available for us to move to the next level of something and achieve that mastery for the job and you know the well-being of everyone. And it's not necessarily just even like condition monitoring or reliability. You know, where we move in terms of personal development as well is so important. Like Jim Rohn, another saying, I keep pulling out these sayings now because they're just popping in my head. You know, he said, work harder on yourself than you do your job, right? Because I guarantee if you make you better, then what you bring to work is going to be tenfold better. Do you know what I mean? Because I think a lot of people are obsessed with making sure the job's okay, but every other element in their life, the health, whatever, it almost gets put to one side because when you work focused on one area and you're not balanced, you know, you're more tired. You know, you can be more desperate and trying to get the work in. And you know, say, for example, you're in sales, for example, and you're desperate and every single hour you're trying to get the sales in. But because you're not focusing on your well-being, your mental health and all these other things, when you're trying to sell, are you in a place where that energy is going to resonate and people are going to want to buy from you? Probably not. Do you know what I mean? So it's about making sure that we're good. We're okay. And then when we feel good, we can bring the best version of us into the workplace and render more value. So it's important for us to be able to focus on them elements as well. And that's not easy. It's very tricky to be able to, it's unfamiliar territory when you're trying to kind of talk about personal development within your organization. But I don't think it's done enough personally. Do you know what I mean? So I think we're quite fortunate to maintain that a lot of people have really adopted these ideas. I mean, you did straight away. I mean, look where you are now. It's incredible, you know, and Will's now putting these beautiful like posts out into our group chat that reinforces everything I told him. And I love that because that's not coming from me now. That philosophy is now in you. Do you know what I mean? And if everyone can do this, they pass down the same philosophy, and that what is kind of building the culture of what this organization and company wants to become and be. Do you know what I mean?
I think it stems from as well, like we do a lot of work and workshops with customers on culture change and how to make culture change. And, you know, it's no lie, when you've got a big organization with a very poor culture, it is incredibly difficult to change that. So I think we put a lot of emphasis on as we grow, maintain, to make sure that culture is set right from the get-go. So
yeah,
every day we go to site, or every day I wake up, it's all about, right, how do I be a better version of myself than I was yesterday? How do I try, what can I do to add more value to, I was at a customer yesterday, I'm at the same customer again today after this podcast. I'm already thinking in my head, right, what do I need to do for that day? How can I bring more value to what I did yesterday? What do I need to engage with the customer with? How can I bring them along the journey with what I'm doing? Because it's not about just going to site, collecting data and sending a report for us. It's about bringing them along with us.
Yeah, and every single
whether
time
they like it or not, yeah, exactly. they're coming along.
But not even that. It might take a while. It might take a while to break through. Yeah. And you might have a conversation with an engineer and they're very kind of negative with what you're doing. But it doesn't matter, because the next day you try again. You try again and you try again. You keep trying. You keep giving them the positivity of what this can bring, and eventually they start to get it, and they start to move maybe a millimeter, then to an inch, and then to a meter. Then they're with you along the way, and this is what this is about.
And when they are with you, you know, we've got some key customers. Some of you may have seen the podcast before with James and the guys at Rivago. That is a customer that we have brought along on this journey, and they are flying.
Oh, they're flying now, even in their roles and what they're doing.
They're all building up their roles. They understand the value. They understand where that brings. They understand the purpose behind it.
But you have to understand as well, that's what is fulfilling.
Yeah.
That feeling of them getting it, but doing it without you as well, to a degree. Yeah. When before you met them, they weren't. That is what this is about. This is what Maintain is about, is bringing people on this journey. And now James, he will now pass that to somebody else, right? And then who he passes that on to, he'll pass that as well, that philosophy, to somebody else. And it's this domino effect that we start. And it doesn't matter where it ends, right? As long as we start it at every opportunity with anyone that we come across, and we share that philosophy, and, you know, we're passionate about it, and we live by it and we die by it. And I think that's the important thing. We bring these values to every single customer to be able to improve that reliability, improve that asset life cycle. And we keep trying. And some customers as well probably won't get it. And, you know, sometimes we may have to leave that customer because they're not quite ready on that part of the journey yet, which is no one's fault. It's just some people are different places. But the reality is we keep that mentality no matter what, and we always strive to be better than what we were yesterday. And that is, I think, a perfect way to end the podcast. So, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. It's been an emotional year, but 2023 is going to even be bigger. It's going to be better. We've got so many ideas. I'm finally now in a position where I can focus on growth of the business. If you are interested in SharePoint or anything like that, please let us know.
And the training.
And as well, of course, first training session of the year, VA Level 1 in Warrington. I want to thank Neil Gallen as well for hosting this at Neutronics in Warrington. The dates are the 6th of February, Monday, to the 9th on the Thursday. Guys, get in touch with me now. We need to really start, you know, the next week or so, a couple of weeks, we'll be closing entries for this course. Let me know if you want to jump on it, if you want to know a little bit more about VA, even if you're in a position to be able to start your journey. Perfect way. The VA Level 1 is a beautiful course, you know, credited by Mobius, and it's such a great course to be able to get involved in the introduction to vibration analysis and what it is and what, you know, maintenance is and different types of maintenance strategies there are. It's a really, really good course. So guys, get in touch with me if you want to be able to, you know, get on the course, or send an email to info@maintainreliability.co.uk and go through that avenue. But guys, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Thank you for everyone for supporting us last year. And we're going to be here more often now, aren't we?
Yeah, hopefully we should. Well, the next one, you probably won't have to deal with my husky voice.
Exactly. And we'll probably be in different scenarios as well. So I have been converting half of my garage into a studio/podcast studio. And the podcast studio is going to host these new podcasts. So with that, we're going to be able to do a hell of a lot more. Again, this is great to be in this environment, but it does cost money. And it is a little bit difficult for me and Will to get here with and what we've got. And we could be a hell of a lot more efficient if we had our own. So we thought, well, you know what? Let's build our own. Let's build it. So we're nearly there. Give it another month or so. We should be doing it then. And the aim is then to do a weekly podcast. I think it was, again, a little bit overambitious last year to be able to do a weekly podcast. Again, another one of my ambitious things that I want to do. But unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff that gets in the way. So I think initially for the first 2 months, we're going to drop one every 2 weeks. I think that's the
start off and we'll ramp it up.
Yeah, we'll ramp them up. So we'll get there. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll catch you soon.